We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I would speak.
Welcome back to Redemption Church. We're here in the beautiful city of Plano, Texas, having a great time. Are you having a great time today? Yeah. Amen. I'm having a great time. Greetings to everyone joining us online. We hope you're blessed by the Word today. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so blessed to share the Word with you today. Anybody remember what the name of our sermon series is? That's right. We're in the second week of our Chasing Carrots series. And the third? Oh, dummy. Gosh. We'll just start it over. Wait. Welcome back to Redemption Church. It's a great day to be here. We're in the third week of our sermon series. The culture of this world's trying to grab our attention all the time. Our focus, much like a carrot on a string. Last week, we talked about fame. Right. Y'all don't even know when a mistake happens, though. We talked about money last week. Money. Try it again. Last week, we talked about fame. Right. We're going to preach about money again since you don't remember. It's a very important message, and I encourage you to go check out that sermon on money. It's on our website. Go check it out, redemptionplano.com. Today, we're talking about chasing carrots, and my name is Marshall Blessing. No, I'm Chris Fluitt. I'm just funning around. I'm having a lot of fun, right? I want to make you, want you to know that mistakes happen. And I do my best. I feel a pressure to be error-free. Am I the only one? No. I get up here. And there is this elusive thing called perfection. And that is what I want to talk to you about today. Does perfection bother you? Are you having a carrot chasing party chasing perfection? When you mess up, we often beat ourselves up. There's an old SNL skit by Chris Farley. It's the Chris Farley Show. And he's always having an interview with somebody. Anybody know about this? And it's like he's interviewing Paul McCartney. And Paul McCartney's sitting there. And he's like, in one of those songs, they'd play it backwards. And it said, Paul is dead. Do you remember that? And Paul would go, yes, Chris, I remember that. And then Chris Farley would say, was that true? And then Paul McCartney, y'all can laugh at that. Paul McCartney's like, no, I'm sitting here right now, Chris. And he's like, oh, you stupid God. He's like beating himself. Yes, it's dumb. It's the skit every time. Go see the Chris Farley Show. I live the Chris Farley Show sometimes. I don't always say it out loud, but I make mistakes and I'm inside going, Chris, you dummy, what are you doing? Am I the only one? When we achieve something less than perfection, we often feel not so good about it. We feel things like shame. We actually feel guilty and we feel unworthy. Our whole value system operates on this idea of perfection. This has always been a struggle for me. I believe somewhere in your life it has been a struggle as well. We can always justify our quest for perfection. We can always justify our perfectionism. You know how? Well, I'm just trying to better myself. Pardon me for trying to be better than I was yesterday. Right? This is the price somebody has to pay to be successful. Right? This is what we say. You just don't understand my drive to better myself. I am going from good to great. And society, of course, dangles this carrot in front of us, doesn't it? How many know you don't just need a home? You need a Pinterest-worthy home. You look at those houses on Pinterest and you're like, what? do these people have children? Do they have, they've got a full-time job. It's cleaning their house. That's all they do, right? You got to have you've got a Pinterest-worthy home, and there are people that are bothered because they're going to have people over on the weekend, and my gosh, their house has to look just like Pinterest. And God forbid if the husband comes in and sits on the couch and gets a cushion not so straight. God forbid, because we have got to chase this thing, right? Yeah. Or how about this? You need Instagram-worthy looks. Instagram-worthy looks. Forget the fact that that person is an actual model and has a modeling team taking her picture and also applying all the makeup and also picking out the scenery and the clothes. Forget all that craziness. You've got to look just like that, or I got to delete that picture. I'm sorry. Can I? Have you ever done this? You take a picture and somebody's like, can I see the picture real quick before you post that? Can I see the picture? Because I've got to look Instagram worthy. What is that? That's a quest for perfection. Am I preaching today? You have to be the perfect mom or dad. Any mom or dad ever feel that pressure? You got to be the perfect mom or dad. You got to be the perfect spouse. Not only that, you got to be like the Facebook post version of that perfect spouse. You got to get everything right. You got to spend a lot of money, take them out and get the perfect picture of the stars bouncing off your loved one's eyes in the necklace you just bought her. This quest for perfection. How about this? The perfect Christian. Well, let's get real quick. You got to be the perfect Christian, right? Perfect Christian never worries. Perfect Christian never gets angry. Perfect Christian never gets sad. Perfect Christians is like, well, I'm blessed and highly favored all the time. Ha ha, it's so good to be me. Amari enjoyed that. Go right on, Amari. How about the perfect employee, the perfect boss, all these things. Perfection, this crazy, crazy thing we do to ourselves. We plan a day where we do something with the kids. Maybe we take them to the zoo. But we often say these words. I just want it to be the perfect day. Have you ever said that? And you put this crazy, crazy burden on yourself. You're just out to have fun. No, this has to be the day that Hudson Fluitt remembers on his graduation day. And with a tear in his eye, he looks at his parents and says, thank you for that time you took us to the zoo. That one particular time. That has to be today. It's got to be that perfect. Don't just throw a birthday party. There's a drive to throw the perfect birthday party. We need a cake that's out of this world. We need all their friends to come. Everybody needs to be posting about how wonderful our decorations were on the Facebook. Don't just cook dinner. It has to be the perfect dinner. Everything has to be just right. And not only that, it has to be just right, and the compliments have to be just right, or we're going to feel bad about ourselves. We place unrealistic expectation on ourselves. Perfection is an unrealistic expectation to put on yourself. Not only that, we have one good moment and then one mountaintop moment, and that's not good enough. We got to sustain that moment. Guess what? It doesn't work that way. You are looking for unsustainable circumstances. I need every day to be like the first date. That's not going to happen. And that's exhausting. I was exhausted trying to not be a loser talking to my wife for the first time. Well, my dating her. Some of y'all believe me. All of y'all believe me. But like, I worked really hard not to say something dumb, not to say, now I'm so relaxed. And thank God it's relaxed and I can just be me without, she knows I'm a weirdo now. And you know, that's a good thing for me. It's good. Be happy for me. I found someone. Be happy for me. We're having fun today. We know it's hurting us, this quest for perfection. But we tell ourselves, this is the price you pay. for success. Is this you today? Are you following the carrot of perfectionism? Are you feeling like your spouse needs you to be perfect, your kids, your friends, your job? And if that's not enough, how about this one? Weigh this heavy one on you. God needs you to be perfect. Say those words. God needs you to be perfect. Oh, yeah. This is going to make matters worse. Check out this verse right here. God asks you to be perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Can you read this out loud with me? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Thanks a lot, Pastor Chris. Thanks a lot for this. That's really good. Can you say yikes?
Yikes.
Any pressure here? I remember reading this verse as a kid and going, what? Like, what did I just read? I did that open book thing where you just open it and you're, well, that was wrong. Let's try it again. All right. Opened it to the maps. I'm like, yeah, going on a cruise. Just all God's asking you to do is to just be as perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's all. Let me ask you this. What kind of perfectionist are you? There's three types of perfectionists. Find yourself in this. Number one is the self-oriented perfectionist. They hold unrealistically high expectations on themselves and battle with feelings of guilt, often obsessing to the point of inefficiency. You're prone to procrastinate and struggle with deep feelings of inadequacy. You are placing perfection, a standard of perfection, on yourself. Could that be you? Here's the next one. Externally oriented perfectionists. You believe others expect you to be perfect. To cope with the pressure, you often use self-deprecating humor as a defense. You often feel alone, depressed, and desperate because you know you will never be enough for what others need you to be. That's the externally oriented perfectionist. Last is the others oriented perfectionist. Others. You expect others to live up to your impossible standards. Because you tend to lack empathy, you often tear others down or use abrasive and demeaning humor toward those who don't meet your standards. Where are you in this? Are you self? Are you external? Or are you other? Some of you may have had parents that were other-oriented. And they pointed at you and they yelled at you and you never measured up. If that's you, I'm praying for you today. You need healing over that stuff. That is damaging stuff. Maybe you're now, guess what? Maybe now you're a parent that looks at your kids and says, why can't you get things right? Why can't, right now, that bed's not perfectly straight. Get in there, soldier. Drop in, get me 20. And what are you doing? You're doing that same thing. Where are you in here? Maybe you're externally feeling everybody's looking at you and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not measuring up. Or maybe it is that in yourself, you have got these crazy high standards and you are driving yourself crazy. But somewhere, you might find yourself in this list of perfectionists. Is the drive to be perfect driving you crazy? You may feel like perfectionism is a psychological problem, like it's only a problem in the mind, but I want to tell you right now that perfectionism finds its roots in the spiritual. Absolutely. How about let's go to the very beginning of the Bible, okay? What you need to understand this about perfectionism before we go there. Perfectionism is a mask or covering for anything imperfect. Okay? People that are imperfect stress because they're imperfect. They try to look perfect. Perfectionism is a mask or covering. Somebody say mask or covering.
Mask.
Let's go back to the beginning. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They were surrounded by perfection. They didn't even know it. We have no record of Adam and Eve ever feeling insecure or worried or unworthy. They never felt that way. They didn't struggle with depression. They didn't live under a burden of stress. Say amen if it's true. Amen. They lived in a perfect world. Yeah. But when Adam and Eve tasted of the forbidden fruit, they realized immediately that they had done something wrong. No one had to tell them they had done something wrong. They immediately felt within themselves that they had done something wrong. They went and they hid, didn't they? They went and hid from God. Good luck with that, Adam and Eve. But they went and they hid from God. They realized something about themselves. They realized that they were naked. No one told them this. They realized that they were naked and they felt insecure. And what did they do with their insecurity? They tried to cover it. They took what off the trees? They took leaves. They took leaves off of trees and tried to fashion clothes to cover their nakedness and their shame. This is from the very beginning. Adam and Eve realized that they were not perfect, but tried to mask their imperfection. They tried to cover their wrong. Perfectionism is a mask or covering for anything imperfect. Perfectionism is not just a thought problem. It is a carnal, physical, sinful response to a spiritual condition. I'm going to say that one more time. It's a carnal, physical, sinful response to a spiritual condition. Adam and Eve were imperfect. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, you bet. Yet they stood in the presence of a perfect God. When something imperfect stands in the presence of something perfect, it creates pressure. Somebody say pressure.
Pressure.
You ever felt pressure being around somebody who was just better than you at something? Had more money than you? Wore better clothes than you? Had a better job than you? Most of my friends, if you are somehow watching this, my high school friends, most of you ducked out of our high school 10-year and our 20-year reunion because they didn't want to stand and face the pressure of I'm here in life and somewhere else they're here in life and I've got this pressure. And how dare you? Because I stood there all alone facing that pressure. I needed you guys. This pressure, this perfection pressure, forced Adam and Eve out of the garden. Let's talk about the perfect law. Someone say the perfect law.
The perfect law.
We aren't standing in the garden, but we are standing in the presence of perfection right now. And it causes pressure on us. God's word is perfect. And have you ever heard the word of God and it just drops a little bit of pressure on you? You ever felt that?
Yeah.
My goodness, I've felt that. You ought to try preaching it sometimes. My goodness, I get a dose of it before you ever hear it. When something imperfect stands in the presence of something perfect, it creates pressure. And the Word of God is perfect. It's the perfect law. The law, the commands of God are perfect, and we are imperfect. And so being in the very presence, hearing the very word of God puts a pressure on you. God has given us this perfect law. And there are 613, I believe, laws in the Old Testament. They are perfect and they put pressure on us, the imperfect. Romans chapter 3 verse 20 says this: no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Who will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law?
No one.
Very good. All right. We, the imperfect, have been given the perfect law of God, but no one has been able to make themselves perfect or righteous through the law. No one has been able to do that. The perfect law of God puts pressure on us, the imperfect. Now let's read the rest of Romans 3:20. Put that last part on there. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. There's that pressure right there. You read that book and it says you are a sinner and you feel that pressure. The law is perfect, but you can't make yourself perfect through the law. You will not be able to cover or mask your imperfection with the law. Just like Adam and Eve were not able to hide their nakedness with leaves, you are not able to put all the law together and make yourself righteous, all right? Instead, the law makes you conscious of your sin. The law is designed to put pressure on you. The scripture says the law makes you conscious of your sin. I am a sinner. Raise your hand if you are a sinner. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. We know this because God's word clearly tells us that we are all sinners. Now, 613 laws are hard to walk through. We will not walk through all 613 laws today, okay? Is that all right? Is that all right, Pamela? We'll do that next Sunday, okay? You come back. We'll do all 613. Think instead about something smaller. How about 10? Think about 10 laws. Have we kept the 10 commandments? Have we? Have we? When we look at the 10 commandments, do we see how perfect we are? Or do we see how imperfect we are? Well, let's look at it. Here's just four, right? Do not lie. Somebody say fail if you failed that one. Fail, do not lie. Fail. How about this one? Do not steal. Fail. Remember the first time I stole a little Hot Wheel. It was just a banged up little police car. Yes, it was last week. But no, I was in preschool. I don't remember who that car belonged to. But man, I felt so guilty when I brought that home. I never took it back, but I should have. Fail. Somebody say fail. Do not covet. But that one. In our society, yeah, big time. Fail. Maybe even this one. Look at this one. Do not take God's name in vain. Fail. Maybe there's a time in your life, maybe even before Christ, or maybe even you let it slip every once in a while, and you let something come out of you, and you're like, whoa, what did I... You know what that is? Pressure. Fail. You don't even measure up to 4 out of the 10 commandments. Right? Forget 613. We fail at 10. And by the way, there's no bell curve here. It's not like you have to get a 70%. It is all or nothing. We fall short. Does the Bible tell us that? We fall short of His glory. We are sinners. The perfect law of God shows us how imperfect we are. We are sinners. Make no bones about it. And the more we look at God's commands, the more we look at how He wants us to live, the more we look at how He wants us to treat Him and to treat others, it makes us aware of one thing. We are messed up, broken people. We are not perfect. It makes us very much aware of that. And if you think that that's all there is to the Bible, you would want to check out of Christianity. Yeah. If you thought that that's all God has for you to just beat you down, put you under pressure, and show you how you don't measure up, yeah, you would probably not come back to church. But the Word of God has so much more for you than that. Yeah. God has so much more for you than that. Here's what He has for us, but it's contingent on this first part. Until you see yourself as a sinner, you won't see your need of a Savior. He wants to save you. He wants to redeem you. But none of that can happen until you see that you are a sinner. Thank you so much. Your perfection cannot make you right with God. Your perfectionism cannot make you right with God. You cannot, on your own effort, solve your imperfections. You cannot save yourself. What is dangerous is that your perfectionism may allow you to mask or hide your sin. And for some people, that's enough. As long as Pastor Marshall doesn't know about my sin problem, I'm okay with that. As long as Leroy doesn't know about my sin issues, I'm okay with that. As long as nobody figures out about what I've been doing, I'm okay with that. There are people that come to church all the time, and that is where they're living. Newsflash, unless you admit that you are a sinner, you will never find the Savior. Ooh, let me shake you. That is dangerous ground you're playing on. It is not good enough just to hide and mask your sin. It wasn't good enough for Adam and Eve. It's not good enough for you. Even if you hide it well, it's still there. So, how are we made righteous? Everybody kind of has trouble with the word righteous. What basically means, how do we become right? Right there in the middle of the word righteous is the word right. Anytime you see the word righteous in the Bible, think about being in right standing with God, that you and God are A-okay. You're right with each other. Amen? You got that understanding? So how are we made righteous? How are we made that? Well, two verses later in Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it tells us righteousness is earned. Righteousness, if we work hard enough, right? Somebody say out loud what it says. Righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to only the Baptists. You know, I love doing this. To everybody. All who believe. Righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Yeah. Righteousness is given. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ today? Righteousness is given. It's given. It's yours. Praise the Lord. The imperfect cannot make themselves perfect. Instead, the imperfect comes in contact with the perfect and they become so crushed by it. They become so pressured by it. Righteousness is given to the imperfect by the perfect. The perfect God of all creation gives you righteousness through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gives this righteousness through faith in Jesus. You know what perfectionism says? Here's what it says. It says, what I do. It's all about what I do. But grace says what Jesus has done. Perfectionism says it's all about me. There's a lot of I and there's a lot of me. But grace, it turns into about Jesus, what Jesus has done and is doing in me. Perfectionism, it says if I obey God, He will love me. If I obey, then God will love me. But grace says because God loves me, I can obey. Perfectionism says win God's approval at any cost. We got to win God's approval. Grace says you live in God's approval. You live in it. You walk in it. Trying to be perfect brings us so much pressure. But what Jesus has done for us ought to take the pressure off. If you've been feeling some pressure in your walk with Jesus, if you've been feeling pressure, if you've been feeling like you don't measure up, if you've been feeling lousy about yourself, I want to tell you that is not what Jesus has for you. He has actually come to take the pressure off of you. You don't have to live under the burden of perfectionism. Jesus makes you righteous right now. Right now. Jesus does not dangle a carrot. You know what? If you work hard enough, long enough, if you pray enough, if you give enough, if you learn enough scripture memory verses, if you only listen to KLTY on the radio, if you only do these things, then you will become righteous, righteous, righteous. I'm not praying enough. I'm not praying. I'm not giving. Oh, I can't do it. No, Jesus does not dangle righteousness. He gives righteousness. You become righteous through faith in Jesus. When can that happen? Well, if you just work on it a few months. No, it can happen today. If you came into this place feeling guilty and shameful, guess what? You can feel righteous today. Yeah. Oh, but you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand what Jesus has done. No. You don't understand how he loves you. You don't understand how his blood can wash you and cleanse you. Come on, somebody. Because the pressure of perfection is off, it changes how we treat ourselves and others. We get to choose people over perfection. Can you say people over perfection? There were two sisters, Mary and Martha. Anybody know Mary and Martha in your Bible, right? Jesus was coming to their house in Luke chapter 10. You think you got pressure when you're trying to get your house ready for Connect Group? Listen, they had Jesus, God's only son, the savior of the world, coming over to their house, and they felt a little bit of pressure. They felt that, all right? The most important person on the planet throughout all eons of time is coming over to your house today. Martha was trying to make everything perfect. Martha was cleaning. She was cooking. She was working. She was probably sweating. And she was probably swearing under her breath because her sister Mary was not helping her. Isn't that right? Isn't that how it goes? Martha's over here just busybody working everywhere. Oh my goodness. She walks into the bathroom and she says, what has anybody? No one's cleaned the bathroom. She walks out. Oh, we forgot salt. Is anybody going to help me? We got to make this perfect. Jesus is coming to our house and she is waiting for Jesus. And at the same time, if she had a sword, she would have killed her sister Mary. She was so mad at Mary because Mary was just kicking back, relaxing and talking to Jesus. And Martha gets so mad, she's like, Jesus, will you tell? I want you to preach one of them Sermon on the Mount sermons right now to my sister. You tell her right now. This is what was happening, right? This is what happens. And what does Jesus say to Martha? Jesus doesn't turn to Mary and say, my goodness, Mary, this place is just not up to standard. No, Luke chapter 10, verse 40, 41 and 42. You listen to this, because this is for you today. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. She has chosen something better. And you are worried about so many things, but none of them matter. In fact, only one thing matters. And you're trying to take the one thing matters away from your sister. The problem, Martha, is that you aren't receiving the one thing that matters. And because you are so lost in perfection, the striving for it, you are willing to take the one thing that matters away from your sister, Mary. Do you see it? Is that what Jesus is saying? Absolutely. The imperfect cannot make themselves perfect. And we know this in the physical because we try to make our bodies perfect all we can. You will never find one, even those big muscle-bound people that have achieved great goals. None of them feel perfect. None of them feel like they've obtained. The people that have cleaned their house and you actually see their picture on Pinterest, they don't feel like it's clean. Nobody feels this way at all. Because you are imperfect. You cannot make yourself perfect. And if that's true in the physical, how true is that in the spiritual? How true is that in the emotional? How true is that in the mental? It's true in every way. Righteousness is given to the imperfect by the perfect one and no one else. He gives his righteousness through faith in Jesus. Jesus wants us to choose what's better. You know what's better? choosing people over perfection. Our perfectionism keeps us from having better relationships with people. And Jesus says what Mary has chosen is better. Can I tell you, if you would stop wasting all your time worrying and take some of that time and talk to God, if you would take some of that time and invest in another relationship, I bet you would feel way better. Are you with me today? Am I saying anything that's true? When you get into that perfectionist mindset, you need to stop yourself and say, no, I am choosing something better, because there it is, something absolutely better. It is better that I just relax and be me. It's better. Some of y'all going to school and you're worried about what people are going to think about you. It is better for you to just relax and be you. And we're talking about kids going back to school. But you at work, you in your neighborhood, you going to a family reunion, you're going to see Uncle Ned. You need to just relax and just be you. It is better that I receive people in whatever state they are. Stop being like, ooh, not that person. What did you see what they were wearing? Oh, that person. No, it is better that you receive people in whatever state they are.
That's right.
My goodness. I tell you what, can I tell you, I'm just off subject. I was taking Alex, who works in our tech booth all the time. He is today coming back from Oklahoma, visiting his family. I love that kid. I was taking that kid to Target. Everybody said, Target. I was taking him to Target, y'all. All right, I was taking him to Target. We weren't having a spiritual moment or anything. All right. I'm taking him inside, and I forget my wallet. I go back outside to my car, and there is a homeless man that I have seen for years in Plano. But I never knew his name until a few days before, when Alex said, while we were driving by, look, there is Tron. I'm like, Tron? He's like, that guy over there with the dreadlocks. He's Tron. You might have seen him. He goes up and down Parker. He's got a cart that he lives out of. And he goes and washes people's windows. That's how he gets by. His name is Tron. If you're really tight with him, you call him Megatron, I'm told. And so I'm like, I'm walking out of that Target to go get my wallet, and I turn around and I'm like, I see Tron. And I'm like, I'm going to go call him by name. It's like, hey, Tron, how are you doing? And he's like, man, I'm so good, but I want to tell you what a fine young man you got with you. I saw you with Alex right there. And that is a God-fearing dude right there. I'm like, amen, he is. Amen, he is. Alex, what did I say? It's better that you receive people in whatever state they are. Alex has befriended this guy, cared for this guy, knows him by name, and has witnessed Jesus to him in such a way that he knows that Alex is the real deal. Can you say
it's better
to receive people in whatever state they are? You see Tron, you say hi to Tron. Invite Tron to Redemption Church. I want us to just give him so many invitations to Redemption Church that he's got to come. All right? And when he comes, it's going to be better that we just receive everybody that the Lord brings through that door. Amen? Moving on. It is better to choose people over perfection.
Amen.
There's sometimes when my imperfection keeps me from entering into relationships. Keeps me from entering into worship. There are people in this room right now, I believe the reason you have never hosted a connect group, or you have never stepped up and become a volunteer here at Redemption Church, is not because you don't think you can. It's not because you don't know we want you to. It's that you haven't chosen people over perfection yet. Well, people might show up at my house and my house just doesn't look like someone. Oh, are you kidding me? We just want to hang out with you. We just want to hang out with you. Because it's better to choose people over perfection.
Yes.
Because the pressure is off, we get to choose people over being perfect. Next, because the pressure is off, we get to choose perfect love over perfect performance. Now wait, somebody, my theologian friends in the house are like, no wait there, Pastor, because I do remember Jesus tells us to be perfect. Remember that? Let's look at that verse. Find it right there. Right? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I'm telling you right now, we get to choose perfect love over perfect performance. So let me explain all this. This verse reads differently. It reads truly when you read it in full context. You can understand what he's really saying when you read it in context. This verse is about perfect love. Let's read this verse, but bump back to verse 43, and we're going to read it all in context. Let's hit this. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Do you see the context now? Somebody shout out the one word answer to the context. Love, right? Say it one more time. Love. You tell me, are these verses about being error-free? Or are they about having a love that is beautiful and like God the Father's love? That is what Jesus is talking about. Because Jesus has taken the pressure off, we get to choose perfect love over perfect performance. You know what I'm saying when I say perfect performance, right? We mean error-free. Never slipping up. Never making a mistake. In fact, the word for perfect is the Greek word teleos. Everyone said teleos? Teleos does not mean to be without error or to be without sin. The word teleos means to be complete and whole and no longer lacking anything. So when it says be perfect, it's not saying, don't you dare make another mistake there, Mr. Jonathan. Don't you dare make another mistake. No, it's saying be complete and be whole and no longer lacking anything. You know what? If you don't lack something, you don't have to go look for something. Right? My gosh. I can't get out of Walmart because I'm always lacking one thing. And it's all the way on the other side. And by the time I go and get it, there's another thing I remember that I'm lacking. And they have it. I cannot get out of that store because I'm always lacking. But if I could ever get to a teleos frame of mind where I'm complete, I am whole, and I'm no longer lacking, I don't have to go get another thing at Walmart. Do you understand this? This is what Jesus has for you. Teleos, perfect. Not lacking, complete and whole. God wants your love to be complete, whole, and lacking nothing. This is why Jesus says the most important laws of God are this: love God and love people. We could dive into those verses, but it basically says that. Love God and love people. Jesus says that loving God and loving people fulfills all the commands of God, all the laws of God. Everything your Bible is about is summed up in the idea that you love God and you love people. My goodness. I don't know about you, but that takes the pressure off me. That takes the pressure off of who I am. That's God's perfect plan for me. To love. Just last week, in fact, it was last Saturday, I was driving around town doing some errands. And while I was driving, I had this overwhelming fear hit me. It was a weird fear. It's the fear of inadequacy. Just driving around, and I'm in this empty car, and I just started saying out loud things like this. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I'm not able to be a father and a husband and a pastor. God, I'm trying to grow this church, but I can't do it. It's not working. I feel like such a loser. I ought to be able to do this, but I can't. I feel so lame. And I'm just saying this over and over again, driving around in my car less than 24 hours before I'm supposed to walk into this church and preach to you. That was what was going on in my head. Can I tell you, perfectionism is all about me. It's all about I can't. You can't. I can't. It's all about who I am. It's all about me. And I feel like such a loser. And this was all about me. Make no mistake about it. I felt this dark belief setting in on me. Can I give you a little help here? The more you think about you, the less happier you'll be.
That's right.
It's true. It is true. Felt this darkness just. But then I felt something rise up in me. Where do you go from there? Well, here's where you go. I am not good enough. You're absolutely right. God is good enough.
Yes, Jesus.
And I'm not strong enough. And I'm not smart enough. But my God is strong enough.
Yes.
And my God
yes.
is smart enough.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm not perfect. But I am perfectly loved by God. And I'm perfectly loved by Him even right now. And yeah, you are kind of a loser. And you do fall way short. But God loves you enough to send His only Son on the cross for you. Is this too real for y'all? The very next day, I was in a ministry situation. It was just kind of talking to people, and somebody walked up to me and asked, "Hey man, how are you doing?" And I was about to give him the courtesy answer, "You know, doing good, you know, stuff." I felt the Lord tell him how you're really doing. I said, "Whoa. So man, I really had a really struggle yesterday. I just felt so alone and scared and fearful that I was inadequate and I'd never measure up." And I just told him this story. And as I was telling him this story, that man started to cry. He started to weep because they thought they were the only one struggling with this. I want to tell you, if you came into this house and you were struggling with it, you are not the only one struggling with it. But you can get victory over that thing today because God has given you righteousness. He has given you victory. His victory is your victory. His strength is your strength. His wisdom is your wisdom. God's doing all of that for you. Friend, you're not the only one struggling. This altar is for those that are struggling. Will you just sit or stand around today like you're somebody with no struggle? Will you try to mask and hide your imperfection by standing around like you are perfect? This altar is for those that are struggling. Why don't you come even right now? Why don't you come? This altar is for imperfect people. If you're perfect today, you don't belong in this altar. You are imperfect. Why don't you come today? The pressure is off. I pray for everyone in this house, everyone listening online, that the pressure would be off, that they don't have to be error-free, that they don't have to have perfect performance because they are perfectly loved by Jesus Christ. That is enough. in Jesus' name. If you want special prayer in this place, if you've been going through some things, if you've been feeling some fear, whatever it is, why don't you come even deeper. Come into the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you today. The perfect love of Jesus is in here for you today. Father, I thank you for every person in this house. Thank you for the perfect love of Jesus. It casts out all my fear. Thank you, Lord. I want to think about the things that you have done, and I want to declare the things that you have done. I want to declare your love for every person under the sound of my voice. Father, in Jesus' name, meet them right there where they are. Let them call on you. Let them find you. If you're listening, watching online, why don't you call on Jesus right now? You are perfectly loved by him. You don't have to do one thing. You are already loved. You don't have to do one thing. Jesus already died for you on the cross. You just need to believe it. You need to have faith, and your righteousness will be given to you right now in Jesus' name. We're going to worship God together. I want you to push yourself far. If you felt like today I was reading your mail, then you need to set further in this altar today. And you've got to do something about it today. You've got to do something so you don't return to that old life. Come on, let's do it today, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Come on.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.